Let's take the Word of God and turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 11. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Gospel of John. And as you're here before, as you're turning there, the Gospel of John was written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. That's the purpose for the Gospel of John, to show the world that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to redeem man from their sins. Now in John chapter 11, we find here really the culmination, if you would, of the miracles of Jesus Christ, and that what I believe here is the greatest evidence that Jesus Christ is God. And we'll see that in a minute. But John chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, we'll read quite an extended passage, and so please follow along as I read. John chapter 11, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And he had heard therefore that he was sick, and abode 2 days till in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking the rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary and that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, said I, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I want to draw your attention, if you go back please, to verse 4. Because it is important as we study this passage this morning that we understand what this is all about. And in verse 4, the Bible tells us when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, notice, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now later in verse 25, Jesus exclaimed and says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I want you to notice in verse 40, Jesus again says unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now much is made on this passage. We know this is the resurrection of Lazarus. And we could say this is just a great passage of Scripture, but before we get too buried in some of the details, may I say this, that this all happened for one reason. It all happened so that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, might be glorified thereby. This is why this happened. So everything that we read and we study as we go here, verse by verse, I want us to think here that all of the things that we read are for this specific reason, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That was the purpose of this event. And so considering this, we're going to think about this here, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So as we consider this, I want us to consider a few things this morning. And really simply, we're going to look at the moment of this glory. We're going to look, secondly, at the message. And number three, we're going to look at the miracle. But let's consider, first of all, the moment. Because here, this is not just random people. The Bible tells us in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Now I want us to think here that this moment where Jesus Christ was supposed to glorify himself and show his glory to those that would be present there and declare the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. I want us to think the moment here was personal. It was personal in the fact that here, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, according to also verse 2, it was that Mary, which, notice, anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, this home here was not just a random home. This was a familiar home to the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt the Lord Jesus Christ had spent much time there with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We see on another account when Lazarus was there and Mary was there and Martha was there and Jesus Christ was teaching in the home. This family was not just a random family. This family was very dear to him. As a matter of fact, there was no other family in the Scriptures that is described in such a way concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. When the servants came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, he whom thou lovest. Later, the Bible tells that Jesus Christ loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And then Jesus Christ, we see him weeping, and the people exclaim, wow, he must have really loved this man. So this is a special family. This is not just a random family. And as we come to this moment when Jesus Christ is going to manifest forth His glory, this moment was personal. The word love used in verse 5, when the Bible says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, this love is the word agapeo. Now, there's different words for the word love that we find in the Scripture. There's some that communicate it is a friendship love, a love of friendship. Some describing the love between a man and a woman. Some describing here, in this case, agapeo. This is the highest kind of love. Not just a natural affection that, for example, a parent would have for a child, but this affection is a result of a moral choice. This is a love that is not swayed by impulses and emotions. This was a choice love. And by the way, that is the love of God. The way that He loves us is not because it is natural as a friend loves their friend. It is a choice. And by the way, love today is a choice. We choose to love. For those of you that are married, you're choosing to love your wife. You're choosing to love your husband. It is a choice. And when you don't love them anymore, it's because you've chosen not to love them. In other words, that love is should not be swayed by emotion. It is a choice that He made. And Jesus Christ loved those people. He chose to love them. It was a moral choice. So we see that this moment was personal. Not only was the moment personal, but the moment was pressing. The Bible tells us in verse 3, "Therefore His sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick." Now notice here, this is an urgency. Now according to, we'll see later in the Scriptures, we know that Jesus Christ went beyond Jordan. This is about a full day's journey. And as these messengers came to Jesus Christ, it was an urgent moment because the Bible tells us that Lazarus was sick. Now this is not just the sickness, like Lazarus did not have a cough and a cold. This was sickness unto death. This was serious sickness. The Bible doesn't tell us what kind of sickness it was, but we know based on the Word that this was an agonizing sickness. They were, Mary and Martha were at Lazarus' deathbed. They knew that it wouldn't be long, and so the urgency of the moment, think about this moment, it was pressing. The whole record by Martha and Mary, think about it, at this point, they did not know the whole story. Now, we have the Scriptures, we know how this ends. But I want us to think here, at this moment, they know who Jesus Christ is. He is the Messiah, the one that the prophets have prophesied. They knew who Jesus. They've spent a lot of time with Him. They've listened to His teaching, but they don't know the whole story here. And so they send for Jesus because they want their brother to be healed. And they know that Jesus Christ has the capacity to heal him. To them it appeared at this moment as if the Lord had let them down. They had no doubt, think about it, prayed. No doubt they prayed for Lazarus to be healed. And perhaps they also knew that Jesus Christ from a distance, as He had already done, could heal Lazarus from a distance where he was. And so in a sense, they just wanted to make Jesus aware of the moment because in the moment perhaps where He heard the news, He would heal them, or perhaps He would come down to Bethany and heal him. So think about this moment where He manifests forth His glory. It was personal, it was pressing, but number three, it was also perilous. The Bible says in verse 8, His disciples said unto Him, when Jesus said to go down, He says, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again?" Now Bethany, according to the Bible says in verse 18, the Bible says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs. Now 15 furlongs is about 9,900 feet, which is about just under 2 miles. That's pretty close to Jerusalem. Jesus Christ had just left Jerusalem because the Jews there in Jerusalem were seeking to kill Jesus. And so the disciples think about here in this moment where Jesus was supposed to manifest for us His glory, it was a perilous moment. Why? Because it was not far away from Jerusalem where all the Jews were that were seeking to kill Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse, notice 16. This is, I think, a little sarcasm from Thomas. "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples." Notice what he says to his fellow disciples. Just a word of encouragement. "Let us also go that we may die with him." That's Thomas. And by the way, three times we'll see throughout the Gospel of John, Thomas just puts his foot in his mouth, kind of just oozes with sarcasm. He says, "All right, let's just go. We'll all die. That's fine." So this moment was not only personal, not only pressing, but it was also perilous. We also see, number four, that it was purposeful. And this is where I want to spend a little time, because we see in verse 4 here when his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick, according to verse 3. Verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now when they hear that, that's good, because they know that Jesus Christ knows everything. So they have the idea that Lazarus now is going to be healed. But notice he continues by saying this. The sickness is not unto death, but notice, for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now I want us to think about that statement, because that is a profound statement. Think about it. Jesus stayed in the area, the Bible according to verse 6 and 7, stayed in the area for 2 days before taking a one-day journey to Bethany. Now I want us to think, because according to the timeline, we know that the messengers came to Jesus. It took them a day's journey to get there. Jesus Christ remained 2 days over Jordan, where he was. It would take him 1 day to go down to meet Lazarus. Now think about it. When Jesus Christ shows up later, it has been 4 days since Lazarus has been dead. So when the messengers came to Jesus, Lazarus was already dead. But Jesus says, his sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Why? What is this whole thing happening for? Why did God not show up? Why did not God heal him from a distance? How did God not know? God knew. God knew that Lazarus was sick. God knew to Jesus, Lazarus was a dear man to him. But I want us to think here, the purpose of this moment, Jesus Christ here, he sees something that man doesn't see. And may I stop there? That God today, Jesus Christ also, they see what we don't see. God sees what we don't see. We don't see the whole picture, but God sees the whole picture. And sometimes we may not understand our circumstances, but God does. And may I say this, that all the things that happen in our lives are for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of this moment. And Jesus Christ makes it clear here, this is all about the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He goes on to say, notice verse 6 and 7, when he had heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after he saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And the disciples responds by saying, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? But notice Jesus' reply. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? The answer is yes. The Bible says here, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now I want us to think here, notice here, Lazarus is dead. We already know that. But Jesus Christ speaks, notice, he says, our friend Lazarus is dead. Now, that's an interesting statement. In other words here, death is not the end of life. He says, Lazarus, our friend, present tense. He is our friend right now. Although he is dead, it's not he was our friend. He is our friend now. Because it is not, death is not the extinction of being. Jesus could see the dead as clearly, think about it, as he could see the living. As sure as Jesus Christ was spending time with his disciples, he knew where Lazarus was and in what condition Lazarus was in. He says here, notice our friend Lazarus, he says, sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now notice here, the disciples were a little confused, for they said, verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He says, why would we go then, Jesus, if he's just sleeping? And so Jesus answers verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking the of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now we know the term appears later in the New Testament that when a Christian dies, he is sleeping. The body. Now the Bible says, according to Paul, that for to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, one day he's going to talk here in just a moment about the resurrection, but here he is simply saying that Lazarus, because Lazarus knew the Lord, Lazarus bodily is sleeping. His body. Now, we go later, he's going to talk about the resurrection, but notice here his disciples thought, again, why do we need to go if Jesus Christ, if Lazarus is just sleeping? And so Jesus Christ makes it clear, Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine the shock on their face? They thought, wait a minute, you said that his sickness was unto to death, and you stay there for 2 days where we were, and now you want to go? Now you want to go? After it's been several days now, you're telling us now that you know that he's dead and you want to go to Judea? What's the point? Jesus said in verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Notice here, he says, I am glad for your sakes. Jesus was not glad because Lazarus was dead. He was glad because he was going to raise him from the dead. He was glad because he knew there was a purpose to this moment. The purpose to this moment was to bring glory to his name. The purpose to this moment was that so the disciples would see that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God and thereby bring glory to his name. And so Jesus Christ knew that. He said, look, I'm glad. I'm glad that all of this has happened. And may I say that sometimes in trials and difficulty we may not see the end, but may I say that many times God is glad for us because he sees the end result. He sees the deliverance at the end of the tunnel. He sees the light at the end of the tunnel, if you would. And so the deliverance is coming. Jesus Christ here is glad. Why? Because the disciples are about to manifest the or about to witness the greatest manifestation of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's about to raise somebody from the dead. And so for that, he's glad for their sake. They're about to see the evidence that Jesus indeed is God. Now that's the moment. Let's not forget the moment. The purpose of this moment. The purpose of this moment was that Jesus Christ would be glorified as the Son of God. So we see the moment, but number two, we see the message. Now in verse 17, the Bible tells us after Thomas makes his comment, well, let's all just go and we'll all die. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now I want us to think here, as we think about the message, first of all, the message came at a when the situation was hopeless. Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. If you expect a resurrection, typically, it'll be just after the death. I know sometimes you ever heard, I don't know if that's true, but there was an article written about a man who was pronounced dead, and then he was taken over to the place where they take the dead bodies, and then he got up. They made a mistake. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't. We think that if any time would be a time for resurrection, would be soon after death. But it's been 4 days. The Bible tells us that the Jews, according to verse 19, came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. So think about it. There's been 4 days of mourning. There's no hope here. Jesus Christ has not showed up. The anticipation of perhaps the miraculous distant healing did not happen. Jesus Christ did not come the day he died. It's been 4 days. The hope is gone. There's no hope. Everything is gone. Nobody is thinking about Lazarus being alive anymore. Now, notice here, it's interesting because Martha says, if thou hast, verse 21, hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, no doubt the statement is true, but notice it's kind of a statement of faith. She's not expecting at this time Lazarus to be raised from the dead. Now, notice verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, I think that was a statement of perhaps faith, but I don't think she really believed that. How do we know that? Because according to later in verse 39, when Jesus said, roll the stone away, Martha said, why? He stinks now. He's been dead for 4 days. Why would you want to roll the stone away? So think about it. The message came when the situation was totally hopeless. May I say that that's exactly the kind of God that we have? That he is always coming when the situation is always hopeless. There's plenty of evidence of Scripture. Think about Acts. Remember when Paul was on the ship and it was they were for 14 days and 14 nights in the ship in the storm. And the Bible says, and when all hope was lost, they knew every 175 people aboard that ship, they all knew they were going to die. But guess what? Paul was aboard that ship. And Paul said, God said that we're all going to live. And I want you to know, fellas, I believe God. You see, in a situation where everything is hopeless, God comes on the scene. And by the way, in this was totally hopeless because Lazarus is dead. But may I say, who is it that has the power over death? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ, yes, he comes when the situation is hopeless. He brings a message when the situation is hopeless. And by the way, the world without the Lord Jesus Christ has no hope. A person that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ is lost in their trespasses and sin, and there's no hope for their life. But Jesus Christ steps on the scene in a moment of hopelessness with a message. So notice the message. The situation was hopeless. But number two, the Savior offered hope. Jesus said unto her, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but we know the Bible talks in the book of Revelation there are two resurrections. There's the first resurrection, which is the resurrection of all those that were dead in Christ at the rapture. Their body will be raised from the dead. But there's also the second resurrection, the fact that every single person that's ever lived that is rejected God and the Lord Jesus Christ will all be bodily raised from the dead, according to the book of Revelation. And they're all going to stand before the great white throne judgment. The Christian will be bodily raised and appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and the unsaved world will be raised from the dead bodily and stand before the great white throne judgment. And so here Martha knows a little bit of a doctrine. She's been listening to the Lord Jesus Christ quite a bit in his teaching, and she said, look, I know that Lazarus is going to rise again. I know that at the last day. But notice here what verse 25 says, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Notice here, she says, I know that he will rise again at the last day. And Jesus stops her right here. He says, wait a minute, you don't have to think about the last day. I am the resurrection. Presently, now, I am the resurrection and the life, right now. That's who I am. He says, he that believeth in me, notice, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. And he asks a question here. Now, this question was pointed to Martha specifically, and he says, believest thou this? Life in the body, think about it here, the resurrection is life in the body beyond death. We will be bodily raised. Now, we will be given a perfect body. But our body is going to rise again. Now, this is throughout the Scripture, the truth has been given. We know, we saw that this morning, but Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So, death, we know according to the book of Genesis in the beginning, is a result of sin. Death is a result of disobedience to God. When God created man, he created man to live forever. But when man disobeyed God, he lost the privilege of living forever. And he said that your body is going to die. And so therefore, Lazarus also died. But this resurrection is speaking of life in your body beyond your physical death. The Bible says here, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you, Christian, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the Bible says, and he that believeth on the Lord shall never die. You'll be separated from your body for a short time. But as a believer, you're never going to die. That's why when we have funerals, we call it a homegoing. We call it a memorial service. Why? Because there's more beyond for the believer. There's more beyond death. And so notice here, the appeal is not just to Martha, but to the world. Notice here, the statement here is a statement of salvation here. I am the resurrection right now. He's calling for people to believe on Him and what He is now, and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How were they dead? The people were dead. Why? Because they were lost in their trespasses and sins. They walked around as dead people. Why? Because the Bible says that before we are saved, we are already dead. And the Bible says that when we get saved, we are passed from death unto life. So people that aren't saved today are walking around spiritually dead unto God. But when they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they become alive unto God. There's a guarantee of eternal life. The Bible says here, Jesus says, shall, notice, never die. We could go there, but we're not going to forsake a time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the resurrection for the believer specifically, and talks about what happens there. And so no doubt here, Martha understood what Jesus Christ was saying when He said that He was the resurrection. She believed that. According to when Jesus Christ asked the question, verse 26, believest thou this? She saith unto Him, yea, Lord. Notice, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when He had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, why was it secret? It was secret because the Jews were there. Earlier, the Bible says the Jews came to comfort Mary and Martha. And so Martha goes back and she kind of secretly takes Mary aside and say, hey, Jesus wants to see you. Verse 30, and Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now this is the exact same words that Martha spoke earlier. If Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That's what Martha said. And now Mary comes, He says, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. No doubt you think that kind of reflects maybe the conversation between them as the Lord Jesus Christ was not there when Lazarus died. The fact that Lazarus was not healed from a distance. They were thinking to themselves, if Jesus Christ had been here, Lazarus would not have died. And so no doubt here there's a lot of perhaps doubt in their mind as to Jesus Christ and why would this happen. And they weren't there when Jesus Christ told His disciples that this is for the glory of God. They only know what they know, that their brother that Jesus loved is dead. But the message that Mary missed was the message that Martha heard was, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, we not only see the moment we see the message, but thirdly, we see the miracle. So what happens here? Verse 35, and Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have we laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Now, the Bible says, and Jesus wept. You know, before we go, you know, nowhere in the Bible, I believe, there are other places, but nowhere in the Bible is the deity of Christ in more evidence than in this account. And nowhere is His humanity more evidence than in this account. It is proven here in this passage that Jesus is God, and it is proven in this passage that Jesus Christ was man. The Bible says Jesus wept. Now the word here is the word dakuro. It's not the same word that's used of weeping, speaking of Mary and the Jews. The word that Jesus, weeping that Jesus wept is the word dakuro, which means to burst into tears. It means strong crying that could be heard. And the question we have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus weep? Why did He burst into tears? Why was there
strong crying.
Now, many people will go to different places and kind of come up with different things. But may I say, in the Scriptures, we find just a few verses on weeping. In the New Testament, we find Romans chapter 12, verse 15, "Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep." And no doubt Jesus, seeing their sorrow, wept. But we also see the only other time in the Word of God where Jesus Christ is weeping is Luke 19:41, when He is weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Why would Jesus be weeping over the city of Jerusalem? Or according to the Message, let's go there, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Notice all the way down to verse 41. "And when he was come," that's Jesus, "near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Notice this is what he said, saying, "If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come unto thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground. And thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And when he went into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear." And now think about it here. Why did Jesus Christ weep? He wept because he said, this is an opportunity here for Jerusalem. Jesus Christ came unto his own people first, but his own received him not. He came and he preached to them, those that had the Word of God, those that knew the Scriptures, those that knew what Jesus Christ would be like, those that knew the kind of miracles that He would do, those that knew why Jesus Christ would come to die for the sins of the world. And so Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. He's weeping. Why? Because they've missed the day of their visitation. A God who had been in the city, He had preached in the temple daily, He had healed the sick, He had proved that He was the Messiah, and He was weeping because in the moment where they have sort of repented of their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they were left making decision and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus Christ weeping over Jerusalem? He was weeping because the people He came to and loved rejected Him. Why did Jesus weep here? He wept because He knew every single person that was with Him. He knew the Jews that were there. He knew Mary and Martha. He knew, according to the last verse, that some of those Jews that were there with Him were about to see Him rise Lazarus from the dead and still go tell the Pharisees in unbelief. He knew that all displaying the zenith of His power and His greatness, some people would still not believe. May I say, sometimes people today, they're waiting for a Messiah or God to say, well, if God just came down from heaven, if God just spoke, then we would believe. If we had just seen miracles, then we would believe. Well, wait a minute. They saw plenty of miracles. They saw the greatest miracle that a man could ever do in raising somebody from the dead, but they still did not believe. What more evidence do they need? They were engulfed in their own wickedness, refusing to trust Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and to remain in their own sin. Why? Because they had their religion. Why did Jesus weep? He wept, no doubt, because He thought about all these people around Him that would die in their trespasses and their sins. Remember, Jesus told the Jews over and over again through the Gospel of John, we've been traveling, remember, He said to the Jews, ye shall die in your sins. Why do you resist? This is the greatest message of why would anybody not want salvation? Why wouldn't anybody not want a free gift? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Nobody asked. He gave it of His own will. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No person has to go to hell. Jesus Christ tasted death, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, for every man. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He died for us to pay for our sins, for every single person's sin that's ever lived in this world. He paid for their sin. And Jesus is weeping, no doubt, because His atonement for many people would be not used. The opportunity for salvation has been passed. Can you imagine the anguish there? You know, the things that hurt the most in our lives are when people that love us, that or the people that we love hurt us. That's the most terrible times. There is no other love like the love of God for man. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down His life for these people. Can you see here Jesus wept, and this is the reply? Behold how He loved them, not knowing that God loved them with the same love. Not knowing as they were standing there that Jesus Christ loved them the same. As we see on the cross, those same Jews and the people that took Him to the cross, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is no greater love than that. And as Jesus is weeping, He's not really weeping for Lazarus, I believe He's weeping for the people that are standing there, the people that are about to see the miracle that will not believe, although they will see. And so Jesus specifically now addresses Martha. Notice, the Bible says, verse 37, while some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have died? We've seen His miracles. Why could He not come and heal this man? Okay, verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in Himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Notice, said I not unto thee, didn't I tell you, Martha, that I am the resurrection? Now he addresses specifically Martha. Why? Because earlier he had the conversation with Martha and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so Martha here, after hearing this message specifically to her, now Jesus says, put the stone away. And Martha said, well, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh by now. And Jesus addresses her specifically and says, said I not unto thee? Think about that statement. He says, said I not unto thee. No, think about what he said here, I. You know, she had just declared him to be the Son of God, right? Earlier in verse 27. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's been prophesied about. That's what she claimed. That's what she said she believed. But then he says, have I not told thee? What did I say to you? In other words, Jesus had told her specifically that Lazarus would rise again, and he's telling her here, move the stone away. But notice he says, have not I said I not unto thee, Martha? In other words, many could have objected to not rolling the stone away. But you, Martha? You, Martha, that I've sit in your house and spend time teaching you? You, Martha, that have just acknowledged who I am? You, Martha, who believes in the doctrine of the resurrection? Believe you, Martha? If anybody was to doubt me saying move the stone, it shouldn't be you, Martha. And I think that many times as Christians we can find ourselves in the place where we doubt God even though we've spent the most time with Him. And so Martha here, notice verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said, I, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Well, let's stop here. Jesus is about to go and said, the stone has been rolled away, Lazarus come forth. But he just told Martha here, if thou believest, if thou believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. What was this about again? It was about the glory of God. Wow! Lazarus is alive again! No. Wow! What a God we have. What a God who came. It's been 4 days. His body has begun to decompose. He stinks by now. But Jesus Christ says, Lazarus, come forth. Now think about it. In this moment, it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15, 35-37. Now corruption, death, the corruption that took place in the body of Lazarus now is in corruption. The body here that was sown in weakness by Lazarus in his life now is raised in power. Death that Lazarus experienced is now swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, that's what Paul said, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus Christ conquered sin and death. So think about it here. Lazarus, come forth. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15. Death has no power over the believer. The grave cannot hold us. Why? Because Jesus Christ manifested in that moment and proved to those that were there and to Martha that He indeed is the resurrection and the life. And the greatest testimony of that would be in a few short months where He would Himself die and raised from the dead after 3 days. So, notice what happens. And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. People have said, I know we say that all the time, but He had to say the name Lazarus, or else everybody, every dead person would have raised from the dead. But verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, I think this was kind of interesting. When they bound a body, it was tight. You weren't going anywhere. I'm just kind of imagining here how he came out. Can't see. It's wrapped around his head. His body is tight. How do you come out? But there he is. I don't know what the Bible tells us. He says, there he is. He's in his grave clothes. And his face was bound with the napkins. You say to him, loose him. I'll let him go. Can you? It's almost like it was nothing. The God who created and spoke the world into existence said, let there be light. And there was light. You know how long it took Thomas Edison to come up with the light? It took him a while. But God spoke it into existence. When He created man from the dust, He breathed into man the nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Creator of the universe who speaks and everything happens now speaks and says, Lazarus, come forth. You see, the same power, the same voice, the voice of God. And then He says, hey, just loose him up here. And verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. That's the right response. Those that were standing there, that was it for them. Many of them had been there for a while. Perhaps not understanding why Mary and Martha and all these people had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But many of the Jews, this at this time, convinced them. This can be no other than the Christ. This can be no other than the Messiah. And they believed on them there. But the Bible tells us, verse 46, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. How would you feel if a body that's been dead for 4 days was raised in front of you? We'd be in shock. Half of us probably have a heart attack. I mean, it'd be spectacular. But these particular people that go back to the Pharisees are so antagonistic to Jesus Christ that there is absolutely nothing he can do to convince them that he's the Savior of the world. They're so taken by their religion. They love all their rituals. Why? Because they can boast of those. They go back to the Pharisees. Why? Because the Pharisees are the religious crowd. And they behave a certain way, and they dress their way, and they conform to a certain amount of standards. So they think in their own lives, says, we're good enough. We're pleasing to God. And this man, we don't care what he does. We don't care what he says. We like where we are. We like our religion. We like going through our rituals. We like going through our sacrifices. We like going through all these things, and we'll deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. And by the way, people will still do that today. There's nothing many times that you can say, there's nothing they can see that will convince them. Why? Because they love the religion too much. They love the rituals, and they love the fact that they can boast of themselves. And one day they can say, hey, God, I deserve to be in heaven. And God says, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, the only way a person can be saved is if they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And say, there's nothing I can do. My religion is vain. There's nothing I can work for. There's nothing I can do in my life that will earn me a place in heaven. And when I come to God and God said, why should I let you into heaven? I'd say, I've done nothing to earn heaven. As a matter of fact, I'm not worthy to be in heaven. I deserve hell at this moment. But Jesus Christ came to the cross and died to pay for my sin debt. And so I come to heaven not based on my record and everything I've done, but I come based on the record of Jesus Christ and what He's done for me and paying all my sins. And now His record is mine. But these people didn't want that. You know, there's people today that still want that. May I say, I hope there's nobody here this morning that is trusting in their religion, in their own goodness, their own righteousness to get there. You're not getting there. The Bible says that our righteousness in the sight of God is filthy rags. There's no way a person can please God without the record of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we know, based on what He says earlier, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me.